Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight, and try not to be very long tonight. I thought on Tuesday that was it. We were getting the good weather. But unfortunately, it didn't last long. It was great then Tuesday, wasn't it? Everybody had the coat off. But unfortunately, there's a fella at work. And they were taking the coats off. And he says, my granny used to tell me, cast not a clout to maze out. It could have been off too quick. But praise God, the Lord bless those that's come out tonight. There's some people away and some people couldn't make it. But I want us to really pray for Israel tonight when you're praying. Remember Israel in your prayers. There's a war on. I don't know everything about it. But, you know, I was thinking tonight as I was sitting there. I'm thinking of the world we're in today. What are they telling us over this last few years? Save the planet. And they want electric cars to save the planet. And even Formula One now, they won't let them use a real engine. They have toy engines in them. And half powered with electric and half powered with an engine. And they're all worried about the saving the planet. Now, throw that over right on the other side of things. There's a war on. There's bombing. And I can tell you, it's not saving any planet. And you think of all what comes out of them bombs, you mightn't think of it, but that's going in the atmosphere. That affects the earth. I honestly believe it could alter some of our weather conditions. Now, I'm not saying I'm right, but it could do, because it's affecting the earth. And you think of the bombs and everything, the different thing that's gone off in the earth, and the damage that's been done on any of the other side, save the planet, and they're not saving the planet. See, Satan's Eden. They'll never save this planet. Man will never save this planet. Man will destroy the planet. It's God. And he's not saving this earth. God's giving us a new earth. This earth's going to be burning with fire. We're going to get a new earth, isn't that right? Won't it be great in the millennium reign? We'll live and reign with the Lord 1,000 years. The millennium reign. We're great in the devil of a pound. Praise God. The Lord bless you tonight. Let's turn to Matthew 21, and I want to talk about prayer that moves mountains. And I know we know these scriptures. Some thoughts just in here. And keep me in prayer as well. My leg, I think I tore it badly at the back. Black as anything down my leg. But I thank the Lord, it could have been worse. You know. But keep us in prayer anyway, and pray especially for Israel tonight. Let's stand our feet and we'll read two verses here. Then we'll start tonight. Just a few thoughts, and I haven't prepared a lot of things because I don't want to hold you too long. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 to 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, And doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, and we know he cursed it and it withered and died, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall have it. I could always remember this verse, because I had a Sunday school teacher and he made it very plain to me. He gave me a telling half actually. Said it doesn't actually mean a mountain. And he explained it all out what he thought it meant, but I didn't believe him. And I said it doesn't say in there what you're telling me. It says a mountain. Now if you were to read here, if you have faith, you can walk on the water. Sunday school teacher would explain that in a way too. But we know Jesus did walk on the water. And so did Peter. So I believe it's what he means. Let's bow our heads tonight. If you have a need, prayer, just lift your hand up before the Lord, every eye bowed, every eye closed. Pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that we can come to you by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we know there's only one provided way, only one chosen place of worship, that's through your name, the name that you have set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we reverently and humbly approach you tonight, and in through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we plead the merits of the precious blood of the Lamb of God over our lives afresh. Forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, I by faith take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that you will in Jesus' name. I pray for every hand that's raised, you'll meet every single need and answer prayer and provide physical, financial, whatever it may be in Jesus' precious name. Save all of our children, we pray, and all of our loved ones. Every single one you know, we claim them all in Jesus' precious name. Sanctify this room tonight, may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit. Lord, you know all about these wars. You said when you were here on earth, there shall be wars and rumors of wars, and yet the end is not yet. For this gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness, then shall the end be. And Lord, we know that many today are not really preaching the gospel. They're preaching man, they're preaching organization, but help us to preach the word, the truth, the gospel, and uplift and magnify your name. Bless your people, Israel, Lord. Lord, you know who Israel is. You know your chosen people that you've ordained from the foundation of the world. You know everything that's going on. And Lord, you know who is in power. We pray for those in power that you'll give them wisdom and guidance in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, that your name will be ultimately exalted and glorified, and people will come to know you, Lord Jesus. Keep all your believers safe, we pray, Lord Jesus, this time. Watch over them, Lord, protect them. And Lord, for those traveling on holidays, bless them and keep them safe. For any assistants, nurses, doctors had to work, keep them safe. Watch over them. Just have your way amongst us. And Lord, bless your word till our hearts tonight, and encourage and strengthen everyone that hears your word tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. Power to move mountains is what Jesus said. He didn't say it's a metaphor. He didn't say, I don't mean a mountain. When he come to the fig tree, the Bible says they were amazed when they saw it, because the Lord cursed it. And the next time they come back past, it was withered from the root and it died. Praise God. Now, it wasn't the time of season for the fruit, but then some countries there's fruit in the off season. But anyhow, the Lord expected the fruit and didn't have it, and he cursed it. And I'll tell you what, he says here, power to move mountains. His promise includes that even anything, not just a mountain, but anything we can believe in a faith, all things that we can believe for and have faith and don't doubt, believe it. That's like watching for the postman coming. That you know he's coming, but you just don't know exactly when. But you're waiting for the letter to drop in the letterbox. You're confident it's going to come. It might be delayed a few days, but it will come. And you need to believe God will hear and answer your prayers. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now I know it sounds hard, this, but it's absolutely the truth, isn't it? And sometimes it's hard, you know, it's hard to take it all in, anything we can believe and ask. Now, sickness in the body, whether that's mental, physical, any type of sickness, the Lord can heal. Financial need, God can meet financial need. Many times the Lord's met, for me, financial needs, many, many times. I prayed. Now look, maybe my need wasn't massive, maybe £1,000 or something like that, but God could do it for 100,000 if you needed it. Because there's no problem with the Lord whatsoever. If it's really a need, God can meet it, whatever that financial need is. Power to move the mountains, yes. But we must learn how or in what way this power can be released. There's a way to know this power can release. Just by wishing for things to get better won't bring a result. You can wish it, but it's not going to happen. Many of us found out that already. We've wished for things, but they never happen. Yet the right kind of prayer can make things happen. So you're not wishing. The world, people that's not saved, can wish for things. And Christmas signs and all, and then you talk about people pull the chicken. You know the wee bone in the chicken? Make a wish there. And you pull the chicken bone. You ever heard that? You know, you're a wee lad and you believe them things. And there's maybe nothing wrong with it. But wishing, it might happen, it might not happen. But we're talking about someone here that's a fact. This is God's word. And God is obligated to back up his word. Jeremiah says he'll watch over it and perform it and bring it to pass. The right kind, Jesus Christ spoke about when he said in John 14, verse 14, this is what he said. If ye shall ask anything in my name. So the one thing, and I know we know these things, but I'm just reminding you, just to refresh you, it's the name. We can't just say a prayer and there's no name. We have no scripture to pray via the Virgin Mary. We have no scripture to pray via God's prophet, William Branham. We have no scripture. We have no scripture to pray the Apostle Paul. We have no scripture. Or Peter or John or any of them disciples. None of them is the name we're to use. But there is a name that is far above every other name. That is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can invoke that name and we can use that name. And we took on that name in water baptism. We took his name and we're part of him. And we belong to him. And he's our big brother. And we have a father. We're not orphans. We have a real father in heaven. And he's given us a name. And when we approach him in that name and pray in that name, he says, I will do it. I will do it. Many times people weaken, they're thinking, you know, maybe it's not the will of God to answer them. Now, maybe sometimes people may ask for something that might not be the will of God for their lives. Maybe all of us have done that at times. I'm just saying. But mostly I believe we're in harmony with the revealed will of God. I believe that, mostly. We're in harmony with the revealed will of God. And I believe it is the will of God that the sick be healed. I believe it is the will of God that we have good health. I believe it is the will of God that we have victory over oppression and over fear. I believe that's God's will. Because when you take Isaiah 53, and then when you later on look in the Gospels and they get preaching, what's it say? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to loose the captive, to set the oppressed free. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. Now, if Jesus Christ came 2,000 years on earth to do that, and Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same yesterday, same today, same forever, then he's not changed. If he came to set the oppressed free 2,000 years ago, he came to do it again tonight, today. And we know he sent some wonderful ministries. We do believe William Branham was a prophet of God, a man sent from God. We believe it. And we've seen God working through that man. We believe it. And God done it so that we could see it and know that God's still real and still alive. And we thank the Lord for it. I believe it's the will of God that our daily needs be supplied. Jesus himself taught us to pray that. Our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. It is certainly the will of God that we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. It's the will of God that we have joy. God's will. It is the will of God that we prosper and be in good health, even as our soul does prosper. Look at the third epistle of John, and I've really just quoted it. The third epistle, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, I told you the other night, your soul is prospering because you have eternal life now. Your soul can never be lost. You have eternal life. Him that hath the Son hath life. We have a soul that can never perish. We have eternal life now. So our souls prosper. But also God is saying he wants us physically to prosper. Not just our soul, it's prospering, but the rest of us to prosper. So God can prosper us. God can prosper us financially, physically. God can do it. Amen. Now let me put it like this. God doesn't want us people to reconcile themselves to defeat and to failure in their prayer life. God wants us to know that he answers us. Amen. Not the defeat and the failure. The devil tells me all the time, the Lord doesn't hear you, and there's a whole thing goes on regular. But you have to rebuke him. You have to believe the Lord. And he wants us to doubt. That's his program. That's his plan. That's what he did with Eve at the beginning. He got Eve to doubt the word of God. He wants us to have real results from our prayers, the Lord does. Just like those in the Bible days. Now I'm going to look at one instance tonight and had lots of others, but I don't want to take too much time. Prayer isn't a last resort to turn till an emergency. Prayer should be part of our Christian life. I'm going to say that again. Prayer should never be a last resort for any believer. It's the last thing you do at the end of the list. Prayer should be our everyday thing. As Christians, we should pray and enjoy praying. And you might know us pray for hours and all that. I'm not saying that. But even a short prayer, the Lord can hear it. You know, the man's name's gone from me. It's not important, but this man wanted to play the piano. And he couldn't play it, couldn't play a note. And his parents sent him for lessons and everything. Tell real good men, and they paid big money, and they said he'll never play. He will never play. That boy's not musical. Do you ever hear the saying, he's not musical? It'll never happen. Do you know what I mean? Somebody could say to somebody, do you play any music? No, I'm not musical. Who told you weren't musical? Do you know what I mean? If you set your mind to it, you maybe could do it. But I'm just saying. But this fella said, no, his fingers was wrong, everything's wrong. Wrong, apparently his fingers were the wrong length and all sorts of stuff was wrong. Couldn't play it. But he met Jack Coe. And he told Jack Coe that he wanted to play. Jack Coe said, fine, brother. And he just put his hands on him and said, Lord, make him the best piano or organ, whatever it was, player ever. Brilliant. That's all he prayed. Ask in the name of Jesus, amen. And your boy was a bit stumped. He wanted a long prayer. You know, calling heaven down for hours and all the rest of it. Co didn't need to do that. Co believed. And your fella said he didn't feel anything. And he thought it was too short of a prayer. And he was well upset with Co. And he went away and he was reading Co up, really. That boy there, like he's meant to have this miracle ministry. And he gives me a wee short prayer like, and I feel no different. See, the next time he went on the piano, he just started playing it. And I'll tell you, everybody that knew him was shocked because he never learned it from the musician, but his hands started playing it. Now, you know, one of William Branham's meetings, the piano played itself. Nobody played it. Well, an angel of the Holy Spirit, but nobody physically, a person was playing it. God can do anything. We have to remember what we're working with. We're working with, when Jesus was here as a man, he walked in the water, We heard on Sunday where he touched the coffin, the dead person rose, turned the water into wine, and they were astonished. They said, look here, they always give the good wine out at the start, but you've kept the best wine to the last. So the water that Jesus turned into wine was better wine than they had already been drinking at the start. And they usually give them, they give them the bad wine at the end because they're bravely out themselves. You know, they're half drunk, so they'll not know the difference. But they had the best wine at the end. Now, we don't believe either that it wasn't alcoholic wine. That's pure nonsense. Because why would the Lord say in the Bible, don't get drunk at the Lord's table? You'll never get drunk in Ravenna, I can guarantee you that there. But you'll get drunk in real wine. That's why there's a warning in the Bible, don't get drunk on it. Take a bit of it, but not too much of it, and you'll not be drunk. But I'm just telling you, the Lord's real. These things are real. Look how God mightily answered the prayer of Abraham. Advanced in age. But Abraham prayed a tremendous prayer. And Sarah was without child. God miraculously strengthened Sarah. And I'm going to read you some scriptures in this. Genesis 15. We'll go back to Genesis 15. And I got into this a bit. And I didn't have any more notes. Because I just went in these scriptures. And they were just a blessing, because I preached this a lot of times. Had another message on this, and I called it years ago, God Answers According to Need. Now I'll tell you what, many times I preached that message in different places when I was traveling, and God really moved. But it was from Abraham's prayer. Genesis 15, 1-6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield. That's his protector. Amen? The shield is the protector. So God is coming to Abraham. First thing God said to Abraham, fear not, I'm your shield. Isn't that great? You know, when the Lord, you know, people talk about God talking to him, some of these people on these programs and things. But I don't believe it's God a lot of the times because of what they're saying. But then on the other side of it, God can talk to you. And God might just say something small. Do you understand what I mean by that? It might be a big long sentences. God might tell you something very short and simple, but profound. That could change your destiny. And here God's, I'm not saying it's short to Abraham. God has a conversation with Abraham. Fear not, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. So God is saying to Abraham, I'm your shield, I'm your protector. And Abraham, I'm your reward. Now we know there's another scripture in Hebrews that says that he's a rewarder of those that genuinely seek him. God is a rewarder. Of those that seek him. So to say there's no reward in praying is not right. God says in his word there is a reward for those that genuinely seek him. And Abraham for seeking God, and here it's here in the Old Testament, but it's in Hebrews as well. And God is saying to Abraham, I'm thy shield, I'm protecting you, and I'm rewarding you. And Abraham said, Lord God, what? Wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. Now, God, there's a conversation going on here. Now, remember, Abraham was a prophet of God. And prophets of God have conversations with God. I'll tell you that right now. The Bible's full of it. Isn't this tremendous? Absolutely tremendous. And this is a powerful thing, this. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Now, how did he bring him forth abroad? When William Branham described some of his experiences in angels, how he was caught up in the constellation of them angels and saw things, people don't believe it. But the Bible says here, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And then he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it unto him for righteousness. So God is saying to Abraham, now you know on a real nice night and all the stars is out, you can't count them. Now there's another scripture he talks about like the sand on the seashore. I'll make them like the sand on the seashore. And people tell me there's not many Jews getting saved. No, that's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And then I heard a debate one time, how will they fit them all into heaven? Don't you worry about who'll fit into heaven. I'll tell you that there. That's a stupid question. In my opinion, how they fit in heaven. See, whoever asked that's thinking of it like the size of this room. And they're thinking of the measurement of the building that's in the Bible about heaven. But you can't think, heaven's far beyond all that. Far beyond it. And I'll tell you what, we should never worry how they're going to fit in. May God send them and more. That's what I believe. And I'll tell you, like Big Paisley said one time, the fellow said, what are you going to do, all the lakes? And he said, we'll pray for more light to come in. They're all in. And that's a bit like the way we should be thinking. But I'll tell you what, we want to see the Lord moving, don't we? Amen. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord and he counted on him for righteousness. That, now, for those that's taking notes, mark down Romans chapter 4. And you're marking Romans chapter 4 because that's the chapter that Paul preaches in Romans 4 where he accounted it to him for righteousness. And that's called the imputation of the righteousness of God. That means that you don't work for it. God just says here. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that really the grace of God? That God did it. But Abraham had the works. Abraham did it and he believed. And because we're living in the day of grace, we come with nothing in our hand at all. We don't do a thing. And God says, for by grace you are saved through faith. That not yourselves. Not wonderful. But he gives us that imputation. Now we're running over to Genesis 18. And I'm going to read this tonight till you. Genesis 18, let me start at verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, my Lord, singular. Because one of them is the Lord, and two of them is angels. Amen. And we know that one of them is the great Melchizedek, King of Salem, priest of the Most High God. Without father, without mother, without son. Somebody said, who is he? Well, you tell me. He's no father and he's no mother. He's without son, without descent. Brother Branham said, God took a lump of clay, made himself a body, and stepped into it so that he could have come down and see Abraham. Amen. And now you think of it tonight. You and me originally came from the dust of the earth. Adam did. And God breathed in him and he came a living soul. Verse 3. And said, my Lord, singular. If now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts after that ye shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as I have said. So these angels are as men. They're with them. They're here. They've come up to them. Now you know the Bible says many angels can visit us but don't even know it. Because they could look like a man. Now I know years ago people said, imagine James McConnell saying an angel came to him and all. And I heard people ridiculing it. But I'll tell you what, whatever that man told J.F. McConnell happened, at the end of the day, it happened. Now, the devil certainly didn't tell him, J.F. McConnell, from here on, when you preach, people will get saved. The devil sent no messengers to tell that story. He definitely didn't. But God can send an angel in different forms, different, you know what I mean? It could be like a person. Amen. Or it could be an angelic angel. But it's not like a person. But God can do it. That's down to the Lord, isn't it? Look at verse 7. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched the calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man and haste to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed. Isn't it amazing? Now I want you to see these products that this he's preparing here for to eat. These is all the things that some of the health goonies, I'm calling them tonight, tell you not to eat. Best thing you could take. If it's in this Bible, we can eat it. Amen. It's not the truth. Butter and milk and all these things. And good calf, good meat. Amen. And look in verse 8, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. Verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now remember these words, I will return unto thee. Because you know there's 25 years passed. But yet God has said to Abraham, I will return unto thee. And God's going to do it. Now you know, sitting in them chairs tonight, Abraham wasn't going to do it. Sarah wasn't going to do it. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Abraham could not make Sarah young. Abraham couldn't make himself young. But God said, I'll do it. And I'm saying to you tonight, God will do it for you. You'll not do it, but God will do it. But you can ask him, and God will answer you. Amen? You have the right in prayer to ask what you will. He'll move the mountain. And here, this is a big thing. Isn't this a big thing? Now, you know, look, if they were 20 years of age and they're asking that, we would say, fair enough. They're young on everything, and they're young, but they're not young. This times went on here. And I'll tell you what, this is a real miracle needed for this case. But that's why when he visits them, when you read earlier, is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at verse 11. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee. Again, God tells him, I'm returning to you at the time appointed. Don't we want the Lord to return unto us tonight? Do you understand what I'm saying now in this text? The Lord's already visited. Every one of us is here. We're saved. We're believers. But we need the Lord to return on us again. We need God to come amongst us. And God promised Abraham, he came to him, but he says, I'll return on you again. And though there be a time passed, the Lord promised he'd return again at the time appointed. Now, what time did he appoint? I don't think he said to Abraham a certain date and a certain day, but God knew it. God knew the date, the day, the month, everything. From the foundation of the world, he knew it. He had an appointed time. And God's an appointed time for everything. And God's appointed time's not late or early. It's perfect. Hallelujah. Now, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, we know in another place, Abraham laughed. And then in another place it says the laughter of joy that it had happened. Amen. Now you could go through verse 20 now. And the only reason I'm quoting you verse 20, I'm not going to go to chapter 20. You could take chapter 20 at home, write it down. But when you take chapter 20, and William Branham says so many things about chapter 20. That's where he talks about King Abimelech looking a wee sweetheart. And he says, King Abimelech has a whole harem full of women. Now remember, we're in the Old Testament. And we know there was as many, one man had 500 wives, another had 1,000. Now I don't know how many wives King Abimelech had. But William Branham says he's looking for a sweetheart. And he picks out Sarah. Now he says, can you imagine him picking old grandma Sarah, coming on her stick and everything? Now there's no way he picked an old grandma Sarah, but he did pick her. Now we know God came to him in a dream, said, don't you touch her. And Abraham told the wee lie. She's my sister. And there were half brother and sister, but it was a part truth and a part lie, which I always say is the worst lie. You know, but anyhow, I'm just saying, she was his half-sister. But that king, God visited him the night he was taking Sarah. Sarah was so beautiful. Over all them other women he could have picked, he wanted Sarah. She attracted him. And God came to him in the night and said, you better watch yourself. I'll tell you what. Do you realize what you're doing? Abraham is my prophet. You cannot do that. And you know, you read on down through, you know that Abraham had to pray for him. Pray for servants. Stuff, bad things was going to happen. Abraham had to pray for them all to get them delivered. Amen? And you know the Bible says, touch not mine anointed, nor do my servants, nor my prophets no harm. God warns us when it's his people. My point is, God was already working and Sarah turning her back into a young woman. Notice verse 14 of chapter, verse 14 of chapter 18. Verse 14, at the time appointed I'll return. So God has told them, at the time appointed I will return unto you. God was going to turn them to young people. Now this is where William Branham takes this and he preaches for the rapture. And this is where he shows us just like God changed Sarah and Abraham to young people and God turned them to young people so that they can receive the promise of the coming Son. So for the promise of the Son coming, they were transformed to young people. And when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes for us, we will be transformed to young people and we will go to be with the Lord. For this corrupt is put on incorruption and so forth. We're going to be changed. You'll not enter heaven as an old person. You'll enter heaven as a young person. And I tell you, you're going to be totally changed. Now, when I say changed, you'll still be, I don't mean a different person in the sense, you'll be who you are. But I mean, physically, God's going to transform us. Now come with me to chapter 21, verse 1 to 7. I'm going to finish in a moment. I've went longer and I didn't expect to go as long. Come to me because I've something here I want to show you in chapter 21, verse 1 to 7. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. He was 100. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Brilliant name. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old. 100 years old. When his son Isaac was born unto him, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. So she did laugh the first time because she couldn't take it in. But now she's laughing because God's done it. But this is she's laughing with joy. This is not a bad laugh. If you understand me. This is a good laugh. God can make us to laugh. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? God can visit us still and make us to laugh. Hallelujah. God can do it and we'll have joy because God will answer your prayer. So that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Now Sarah was 90 years old. Now, I'm going to show you she's 90 years old. I'm going to go back one scripture and then I'm closing. Chapter 17. Verse 17 to 19. Chapter 17, verse 17 to 19. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? So I've heard preachers and they cut months out of Sarah, basically. Because she laughs. Sure, Abraham's laughing here. What's the difference? There's no difference. But I tell you, I don't believe it. I believe people misinterpret when they do it in a way that is negative. I don't look at it like that myself. For me, I believe he's so amazed. He's laughing that God's going to do it. Because you remember, if you say no, I'll disagree with you. Because I'll tell you why. The Bible says Abraham believed God and imputed him for righteousness. So Abraham's not laughing saying God can't do it. If we believe that, we're undoing Romans 4. Because Romans 4 says he believed God. But he's laughing and he's singing to himself, my goodness, 100 years of age. And a young fella that's whippersnapper at the heels, sort of thing. I'll tell you what, when God does something for you and make you laugh, and I'm great, God can do it. Amen. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? He can't take it in, but yet it says he believed God. And Sarah, that is 90 years old, bare. There you are, she's 90. Amen. Now, I'm reading at it deliberately as well, because you know they're 90 and they're 100 in chapter 17, and yet in chapter 20, King Abimelech wants her. So she's 90 years of age. Now let's take 25 of the 90. If somebody wants to be crooked about it, take the 25 out of the 90 and we'll leave Sarah at 65. I'll tell you what, 65 like. And this boy's a whole harem of women. I don't think he'd be picking Sarah. You understand what I'm saying? God had turned her. God had changed her. God had done something. Now God had done the impossible. What have we tonight that we're facing that's impossible? God can do it and make us laugh. And we might think, you know, maybe it couldn't happen. But if we don't doubt and believe, God can make it happen and cause us to laugh. And he can return on us. We need the Lord to return on us and visit us. God bless you tonight. Let's come and seek the Lord this evening and praise God. May the Lord grant it. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these wonderful truths in your precious word. Lord, it does us so much good when we hear about Abraham and Sarah. Absolutely seemed impossible. But they prayed, Abraham prayed, and he believed you. Lord, they had a good laugh at it, but you done it. You done it. Lord, you promised that you'd return on to them at the time appointed. Father, I'm asking you this evening in this house that you return on to us as your people. Oh God, return on to us in your power. For you returned unto Abraham and Sarah in your power. And oh God, look what happened. The miraculous took place. in your power, life will be birthed. Souls will cry out and be saved. Lord, grant it tonight. Maybe someone's been praying and the enemy's told them it's too big of a mountain. But Lord, you can move the mountain. When we don't doubt, forgive us our unbelief tonight. Help us to believe you. Lord, for a hall that we can call it our own for service. Lord, that your work would grow and people would get saved. Lord, that our families would come in and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. We're asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you know the secret prayers that's been prayed. I agree with my brother, with my sister. Father, I pray you return unto them in your power at the time appointed and cause them to laugh for joy. Grant it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's continue just to seek the Lord tonight.